the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So it was probably back year 2000, going into 2001. I was at the Episcopal Church in Cornell, and we found out that our chaplain was leaving. And there we were, several students and some older people who had become attached to the chaplaincy, wondering what we were going to do. Bishop Payne met with us and laid out a plan, but it really felt like a lot upon us, you know, in our late teens and early 20s, to what was going to happen. Somehow, we discovered gifts and talents and gifts from the Holy Spirit that we hadn't considered before. I can remember my friend Scott, who at the ripe old age of 18, with his spiky hair, had just gotten his license for morning prayer. And so one particular Sunday, just with all solemnity, said, "I will be leading morning prayer today." I can remember sitting with my friend Jeff, and we were unwinding after our studies and whatnot. And he was actually the president of the steering committee, which in any other church would have been a vestry, but at Cornell we called it a steering committee. And so he would have been the senior warden, and then his email dinged, and it was a day before a lot of spam emails. We actually got excited when we saw we had email, because it's usually something important. And his email came through, and I just heard him say, "Whoa! Why? What happened?" I said, "Look at this." And then there was an email there from somebody who was a trained intern and saw our posting and would like to come in and interview with us. And seemed very, very impressive. In the midst of all the uncertainty that we were experiencing, God was still with us. There were some people in the congregation that had built relationships with other clergy in the area, brought in people to be supply clergy. And so we had Eucharist on Sundays. Remember one particular Sunday, we had a Lutheran pastor come in because we had just had that new relationship with the Lutherans where we could share sacraments with one another. So a Lutheran pastor came in and said, "Could you just walk me through the Book of Common Prayer?" But God was with us throughout that whole process. Between January 1st and right before Easter, we were able to bring somebody new in to be our new chaplain. Now we see in the gospel story today other examples of God being with us, making sure and ensuring that God is with us. Jesus said a very famous statement, it's a very popular one, people remember this one a lot. "Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of you." But whenever you look at the scripture, it's important to put it into context. And the context there is one of uncertainty and one of stress. You notice at the very beginning of this passage that we read, he starts off by saying, "If any member of the church sins against you," and then first off, pull them aside and tell them privately. And then if they don't listen, he'll bring two or three others. And if they don't listen, they're getting up on them even more, right? Apparently, sometimes it just takes a whole community to help. But the whole intention behind it was God being with them and exercising God's good gift of forgiveness and reconciliation. So it's within that context of stress, of uncertainty, of Jesus saying, "Whenever two or three are gathered together, I will be in I will be with you." And that is the clearest message that I can give today. And it's not isolated to this one passage. The thing in Jesus' farewell discourse in the Gospel of John, that really long passage of several chapters. Remember the first time I read that, and I was just like, wow, this is really touching and really beautiful. Usually my practice was to read a chapter from the Bible and then spend some time praying about it. But I got to the end of one chapter and I can't turn this down. I gotta keep going. turn the page again and start reading. This is beautiful. I got it. Next thing I know, I was through the whole Gospel of John. So how beautiful those words were. But the one that comes to mind this morning is Jesus saying, I will not leave you comfortless. For the Father will send another advocate, another helper for you, the Holy Spirit. Later on in the Gospel of Matthew, the very last chapter, this is after the resurrection, and they spent another 50 days with Jesus after he was not resurrected. And he was just getting ready to ascend to the Father. And he said to them, go forth into the world, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And remember, I will be with you, even to the end of the age. So all these times, God promises to be with you. I think the person that really remembered this and lived it so well was none other than our very own St. Francis. You know, there he was, figuring out his role in life. You know, growing up in a wealthy family, but finding comfort in, of all things, poverty, and in preaching the gospel. You know, wearing his itchy, scratchy robes, you know, the most uncomfortable he could find, because that's what the very poorest of the peasants wore. And he heard the voice of God saying, rebuild my church. So he started off literally with a broken down church with stones and bricks and mortar, you know, building it up brick by brick, stone by stone. But then he went out with kind of a spiritual rebuilding, and he never intended to found a religious order, never intended to start something new. He was just going out preaching a very simple message to the people. You know, follow the teachings of Christ and love one another. That was it. Really was that simple. Follow the teachings of Christ and love one another. Soon people began to gather around him, praying together, psalms, and the whole daily office. And before he knew it, this order that started to spring up following this very simple rule, it all got so big that he had to eventually formalize it. They'll follow their own rule and the Pope be their protector and all of that. But a very interesting thing I always find about St. Francis was that he never sought out any ordained orders at all. He was a dedicated, faithful person of God. And that's all he wanted to be. I think reluctantly at one point they wanted to ordain him a deacon. He said, okay, fine, I'll relent, you can make me a deacon. But he never wanted to be a priest because he felt his calling being a witness to God amongst them was best served as a friar minor, with what he originally called his order of friars minor. And so they would preach, they would live in poverty, they would pray together psalms and daily office. Coming to this St. Francis, we have a similar spirit, because there are such great people here. There is such great leadership. You know, people here recognize God in your midst, amongst you. And so we have people going to the Diocesan Church Development Institute, learning about congregational development, learning about how to be an effective group facilitator. You know, what a gift. We have daily prayers on Facebook, which are not a slight quirky little thing. It's actually, if you looked in your prayer book on page 78 for daily morning prayer, that's what it says, daily morning prayer. And we do it every day. And it's going to continue. We have such an impressive food ministry that takes the commandment to feed my sheep and figures out ways to not only feed people, but to treat them with such dignity. That then not only do they keep coming back, but they're writing these touching thank you notes to our food pantry saying, thank you so much, not just for the food, but how we treat it. We have continued to have our outreach events, you know, trunk or treat, Easter egg hunts. I heard a rumor that somebody wants to get the Vacation Bible Study going again next year, one of the things that we've been trying to get going again after the pandemic. And all of these things are led by the good people of St. tell you, whoever comes next is being very, very lucky. Because we all know here, and we practice this, that when two or three are dead, God is dead.